Westbury Web Radio. I'm Amanda Saguna.
And I'm Kristen Schmerling. You're listening to Global Media News from the News Media Newsroom on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio.
This week in New Media News,
fake Black Lives Matter Facebook page fraud. What did Facebook do about it?
Why you should choose the information you share on Facebook wisely.
Why did the Fed shut down Backpage.com?
Instabrands. How are brands using celebrity influencers to promote themselves on Instagram?
Does the NFL have the same rules for player and cheerleader social media accounts?
Is social media taking all the fun out of wrestling?
How do you discover new music? Has the music industry changed because fans find new music through new media?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury. Kristen Schmerling is on Facebook Beat today. Black Lives Matter activists and supporters have been using social media to mobilize people and support their case. A lot of organizing happens on social media, and especially on Facebook. But not everything labeled with the hashtag Black Lives Matter is actually authentic content created by activists. Kristen, you have a story about fake Facebook page that had a lot of people fooled. Tell us about this fake Black Lives Matter account and how popular it was.
So there was another bump in the road for Facebook. A popular Black Lives Matter page has been removed as a fraud. The fake page was in connection to the Black Lives Matter movement, and it shockingly had more followers than the official movement page. CEO Mark Zuckerberg is currently testifying in front of Congress in relation to Facebook's inability to protect users' information during the 2016 presidential election and the influence Russian interference had on the social media platform. The questions being asked to Zuckerberg relate to the authenticity of what is being posted on Facebook. A lot of users complained about the spread of fake news and political propaganda on the website. Zuckerberg stated that there should not be any fake accounts on Facebook because you are required to have your legal birth name on your profile. You're not allowed to have a fake account on Facebook. Your content has to be authentic. But users could still find ways around these rules if it's not being enforced. The page titled Black Lives Matter was followed by a whopping 700,000 people, and it raised over $100,000 in donation efforts. The page was to support racial injustices in the United States, but was ran by a white man in Australia. The page has been reportedly up for a year, and users claim for it to be a scam because the money was going into Australian bank accounts. Recently, Facebook has received a lot of backlash. They commented on the issue, stating, "The page violated the company's community standards and was run by a person or people who are not who they claim to be." Facebook did not identify the person who ran the website, but CNN believes it is Ian McKay, a worker of the National Union Workers in Australia. When CNN reached out to McKay, he denied that he had any ties to the Facebook page. He stated that, "I once bought the domain name only and sold it." Fundraising campaigns such as PayPal, DonorBox, and Patreon were suspended with the page once contacted by officials. Since the Facebook page came into scrutiny, it has been suspended. The official Black Lives Matter organization has not commented on the issue yet. Will you just fear the validity of organizations and people on Facebook? Facebook is going through a lot, it seems, especially after the recent allegations CEO Zuckerberg is dealing with, being questioned by Congress. But before donating to any cause, you should always check the validity of the websites they visit.
Okay, so if you're a Facebook user, like a lot of listeners are, I am myself, how do you identify if a page is reliable or real on Facebook or social media in general?
So users can always tell, like, the validity, oh my god, of a page on different social media platforms, like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, because verified accounts do have the blue check mark. The blue check mark shows that they are verified. They have to go through a process to become verified by the company. So I would just always remember that if a person or organization doesn't endorse, like, the page or whatever it is, it's probably not valid.
I totally agree with that. The blue check mark really does help separate fake accounts from real accounts, and it might be silly that just a little blue check mark can mean so much, but it really does. So what's your personal take about fake pages on social media? Because they're swarming social media and growing every day, and it's hard to decipher which is real now and which is fake.
I think fake profiles in general can be confusing to those who are new to social media, like a lot of our parents and stuff. But for all we know, like, it really could be, like, a parody page, or you just don't know who's behind the computer. Like, someone could be trying to, like, troll an organization or, like, a person, or it could be, like, a parody account. But I definitely have seen people, like, tweeting or, like, becoming friends with, like, fake celebrities on Facebook, which is, like, it's crazy. Like, you should know
the difference.
Yeah, like, you should know, like, your favorite celebrity is not going to, like, request you back or, like, what the situation is. But the internet can really be, like, a scary place for some people. So, I mean, that's, you don't know who's behind the computer. And I guess that's, like, why shows like Catfish and stuff do exist.
Yeah, I definitely think that more people today are more gullible to believing what they think. So it's easier to trap them in this whole world that what they see on social media and, like, who they're following, it's all real because you want it to be real so bad. So you're just going to put it in your mind that it is real. Do you think that there is a way to get around making fake profiles on Facebook? Like, is there going to be a way to track which accounts are fake and who's behind everything?
I think there definitely could be ways around making fake profiles on Facebook. I remember, like, a couple of years back, they made you change your name on Facebook to your legal birth name as it appears, like, on your ID or whatever. And then there was, like, a system to report any fake names to Facebook, like, to administrators or whatever. And then there would be, like, a report that was filed, and a user would have, like, a week to respond before any action was taken. But I'm not really sure how much of that is still, like, implemented and used on Facebook, because I know people who have, like, names like Pablo Escobar, like, on Facebook. You know that's not your real name. So, like, people are always going to just, like, try to, like, find ways around it.
Yeah. I mean, I know that for myself. I don't use my full name on Facebook because I don't want my students that I teach to find me. But
for Global Media News, I'm Kristen Schmeling. Back to you, Amanda.
All right. Thank you, Kristen. So let's stick with the Facebook beat. I have Scarlett Vizcaino-Perez in the studio with me to talk about Facebook and privacy. There has been a lot of news and controversy about the way that Facebook handles user data recently. Scarlett, what do you think Facebook users need to know about how Facebook handles their personal data, and what can users do about protecting their data on Facebook?
Well, you have to choose the information that you share with Facebook wisely, because Facebook, even after you delete some people, it stays in their data. So, like, some things that stays with them is your birthday, your phone number, your email address, and things like that. Facebook, it retains more data than one could ever think of. It uses different types of tracking software to follow consumers' activities on millions of non-Facebook sites all over the web.
So what are they doing with this data that they're collecting as to what you're posting on Facebook and stuff?
They keep it in their data, in their files. That's how they strategize to market.
So what you're saying is they take what you do on Facebook and use it in a way to properly place the ads that you think that you would be attracted to on your Facebook page?
Pretty much, yeah. Another thing is that, like, when you sign up for Facebook, it tells you. The only thing is that people don't really read the policy. So they just click agree without even reading everything. And they it tells you that it saves all your data even after you delete your profile.
So it takes, like, that's kind of crazy. It's, like, monitor. I can't with this word.
Monitor.
Yeah. It is, like, tracking everything that you say and post.
Yeah, even your statuses, all the friends. Even after you delete the friends that you had, it saves those friends.
So is there going to be a way to get out of this? Because, I mean, to some people, they can be okay with their data being saved, but other people are more private and they want to protect what they do on their own Facebook page, and that's why there is the setting where you can put your Facebook on private or public. Do you know if there's going to be a way where they're going to slowly take a step back from saving your data?
No, Facebook is still going to keep, you know, saving all your data. Even if they see people complaining, they don't really care.
So there's been, like, backlash, like, Mark Zuckerberg and his whole Facebook team have been receiving backlash about people finally realizing that they're tracking everything that they're doing on Facebook?
Yeah, there has been a lot of backlash, and they don't really care to do any difference about it.
Have you personally been affected by the data saving, and has it been bothering you that while you're on your own Facebook page, you get to see all these ads, and just kind of makes it mind-boggling how everything that you're posting is being translated to these ads that are posted on your page?
It definitely does affect people because if you think about it, when you get jobs, people look into all the information you share, and they could harm you depending on what you share on Facebook.
And we all know that Facebook sometimes has, as we were talking earlier, has these fake reports, and you never really know what you're sharing is true. So it could be dangerous that everything that you do on Facebook or on the internet in general is saved and stored. And since we're all college students, we're all concerned about the job search. So everything that we do now or have done in the past on the internet or Facebook in general, it can come back to haunt you.
Yep.
And these fake accounts, they definitely don't make it easier because it's easier to manipulate young kids.
Yeah, people believe, they believe everything they see online. So we have to kind of like find a way to like not believe everything we see online.
Yeah, it's definitely like a teamwork between teaching young generations that everything that you see on social media, Facebook, is not real, and then the social media accounts cracking down on getting rid of these fake accounts, because it's just not fair to grow up in a generation where everything that you do on Facebook is monitored and you don't know if it's fake or true, and you could be sharing something just because you believe in it, and in the end of the day, it's completely false.
Do you have any advice for users on Facebook?
I do advise not to share everything in your life because it could haunt you, like we said before. Just choose the information you share with Facebook wisely. Thanks for Global Media News. I'm Scarlett Explain. Now back to you, Amanda.
Thank you, Scarlett. Up next, why did the feds seize and take down Backpage.com? What was the site doing that caused such a strong reaction from the government?
Let's talk social media marketing with Amanda Saguna. Amanda has been looking into how brands promote themselves on social media through celebrity influence accounts on Instagram. Amanda, can you give an example of a celebrity account that is being used to promote a product on Instagram, and why Instagram?
Everyone has social media accounts, and everyone at this age, for the majority of people, do have Instagram accounts. So you see celebrities that post what they're doing during the day, but then you also see them, sometimes, not all the time, they'll post about a certain product that they love. Recently, I was trolling Instagram looking for someone to use as demonstration, and I came across Kendall Jenner, and I saw that she was promoting a Hair Infinity product, which is to develop like hair growth and nail growth and basically just better yourself. And then that's when I realized like more people and celebrities that we have on social media are promoting to us without us kind of realizing. And then I took a step back and I was like, this is crazy, because this is, to me personally, I think this is such a brilliant idea, because I'm on myself, so sad to say, but I'm on social media a lot, and I never really realized how much I'm influenced by celebrities, and then put celebrities and product placement together, and I'm out there on the internet buying a product that someone told me to buy just because I believe that the celebrity's word is true.
So how do marketing agencies use celebrity influence to promote their products?
So a lot of the time, they'll have celebrities that actually use their product. So back to Kendall Jenner, she says that she loves the product and it makes her hair grow. So not only will she talk about using Hair Infinity on herself, she'll then post pictures with it and say, like, I love this product. It's doing so great for me. It's making my hair grow and everything. And she'll just go on and on and rave about it. And then you'll see all her comments will light up, and then automatically you click on the Hair Infinity page, and then their page is starting to blow up, and it's just like, because of the one picture she posted, it's getting so much traffic to their website, and so many more people are wanting to buy this one product.
No, yeah, I definitely think that's crazy. Like, now on Instagram, it'll say, like, paid partnership with whatever brand, and I think it's just crazy, like, how many celebrities and stuff, like, to market using, like, all these different, like, ads and stuff like that. And it's just, like, crazy because I feel like our life is just taken over by all these, like, different ads on Facebook, on Twitter, definitely on Instagram. I know I always see, like, Kendall and, like, Kylie, they always promote, like, the flat tummy tea. Like, I doubt that that really works.
Yeah. It's, like, it's literally at this age a social media takeover. You can basically do anything and promote anything on social media, and 90% of the time you'll get reviews, and the reviews will either be good or bad, but either way, you will be getting more people coming to your website and more people wanting to buy your product. And it's just crazy to link it all back to just celebrities posting one picture on their Instagram account.
Yeah, definitely. So how do these celebrities promote products?
So like I said before, a lot of these celebrities will either take a picture with the product or just post videos of them using the product. It's really honestly simple for the celebrities on their part. They just have to promote the product in their everyday life and show that this is something I use, or this is something that you should use, and here's why. Because I love it, you'll love it, and then just the two together, I guarantee you, you'll enjoy it just as much as I do. So they don't, like I said before, they don't have to do a lot, but by doing just the bare minimum, it helps out the product they're trying to promote an extreme amount.
I've seen, like how you said, like, with the ads and stuff on Instagram, it does get, like, people, like, a lot of followers, but it also makes a lot of people gullible because they think that these products work, and I don't know, I necessarily think that a lot of these products, like, don't work for people. I think people are just going towards it, obviously, because, like, their favorite celebrity, like, endorsed it, like, the thing with the flat tummy tea, like, I definitely don't think that that works. Like, a lot of people say it's gross, or, like, I've read reviews, and people would be like, oh, well, you're going to be on the toilet for a while, something like that. Like, it's crazy, like, how gullible people can be just because their favorite celebrity will endorse something.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with the flat tummy tea. It's more of, like, a detox flusher system out, so that it definitely will leave you on the toilet. But then again, with the celebrities posting, is like, they'll just post the picture, but they won't go into depth about what the product does, some of the side effects, and everything. They just post it, they'll be like, I love it, you should love it, let's do it, and then that's it. So then it kind of leaves the viewer like, all right, so let me just buy it without ever thinking, let me read into this more before I consume or use this product that my favorite celebrity just promoted.
Exactly. And, like, I have looked into it because I was, like, interested just about, like, how they do this and how they get paid and everything like that. And I was like, oh, like, that'd be so cool. Like, you can get free products from this, or you can get free clothes from this brand and all this other stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool, like, what they can do. And I really wanted to, like, try to do something like that to, like, get, like, a brand to, like, promote me on Instagram or something like that. But it's, like, hard. You have to have a lot of followers and you have to have a lot of people engage with your stuff all the time. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anyone that would turn away free stuff, but I definitely agree. If I could do it, I would do it too. Like, just being able to promote a brand by literally posting a picture and then being able to make a profit off of it is ideal, especially for people our age, and we just are on Instagram and social media all the time. It's basically like part of our everyday lives, and just because you post one picture and then you can make a profit off of it, it's an ideal job for basically anyone.
Yeah, totally. Like, so many people are famous just off of doing, like, product endorsements. The product will, like, repost their thing, and then they'll get, like, a whole bunch of followers and everything else. Do you think it helps or hurts marketing the brand?
I definitely think that it helps the brand because it gets the product out there and on the market without them having to go through a long process of having to buy a billboard or having to make a commercial. Like, it just cuts out so much time by just being, okay, I'm going to pay this celebrity X amount of money for them to post one picture, and I know by posting that one picture, my product's going to skyrocket in the market. It definitely, like I said before, it will save time. I mean, I know some people will enjoy, like, seeing it in a commercial or hearing about it on the radio, but just for, like, making it easier and more accessible, promoting it on Instagram is definitely more ideal for marketing agencies.
Yeah, like, it definitely does save a lot of time because it's like you can just post a picture on Instagram in an instant, get the product or whatever, post your little picture, write, you know, whatever they tell you you have to write, and, like, there'll be, like, a discount code or whatever it is for people to get a percentage off, and that's how they, how the influencers and stuff make their money. So it is very interesting to see how that does work and how much time our life is really consumed by social media and how people become, like, so famous off of things like this.
Yeah, and Kendall Jenner has 89.8 million followers, so you can just imagine how, by posting one picture in 1 second, how many likes she gets on that one picture. So just think about the amount of traffic to a website by her posting one picture and getting a million likes in, like, 5 seconds, to how many people are going to click on that paid partnership and go straight to their page and look right into it. Like, it's honestly kind of genius the way they're using these celebrities and social media to promote products. Like, the people, whoever came up with this first is very intelligent.
Yeah, I definitely agree because, I mean, me, like, I'm definitely on Instagram all the time. Like, just looking at pictures and, like, waiting for, like, my favorite celebrity to post something or whatever it is. But it's just, I think it's just very, like, insane because, like, people do, like, they do have a lot of followers and it's crazy how... It's just crazy how many people, like, will really just not even care, like, what the product is or whatever, but they'll just buy it.
It's, social media has such a hold over our generation today, and it's crazy, and it's slightly sad because it consumes people, but I don't think we would be able to picture a world without social media and the internet and our technology, and the good and bad that has come with it all. It would be not what we would know today, which is... kind of scary to think about.
Well, thanks, Amanda.
You're welcome.
Is the NFL censoring the social media accounts of cheerleaders? Is there one set of rules for players and another set of rules for cheerleaders?
Tim Martin told CNBC in a statement, quote, it's becoming increasingly obvious that people spend too much time on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook and struggle to control their compulsion, unquote. Feeling this way is not uncommon, especially for members among Mr. Martin's generation, which are not accustomed to social media as an everyday use. The company plans to inform the public about actions and information related to their bugs through their official website.
The NFL uses a lot of social media to engage fans. The NFL has accounts on all platforms, so do the teams, so do the players, and so do the cheerleaders. Juan Salazar is here to report on the censorship of cheerleader accounts by NFL teams. Juan, are there different rules for cheerleaders and players, and why are these rules about cheerleaders' social media accounts so much stricter?
Yes, what you were saying is true. There are different rules for cheerleaders and players. Cheerleaders have very strict rules. The NFL sets policies where they can't post no pictures and any type of lingerie, any type of half-naked or being naked on their Instagram accounts. If they command these actions, they are due to be sanctioned and due to be fired. Players, on the other hand, don't have these sort of restrictions and can do what they want on their social media. NFL owners feel like they have full control of cheerleaders and they want to censor what they put on their Instagram accounts.
Now, if I'm remembering correctly, I'm pretty sure there was just an article about an NFL player. I can't remember what team she was on, but she just got kicked off her squad because she posted a picture in her lingerie, which wasn't even a bad picture. It was just the fact that she was an NFL cheerleader wearing lingerie, and that's just against the rules. Could you tell us more about that?
Yes, I can. Her name was Bailey Davis. She was a cheerleader for the New Orleans Saints. And yeah, she did get fired for posting on what people call an exploded pic, what NFL owners deem an exploded pic. And she felt some type of way about it. And she wanted to call to action. Why is it that people on NFL accounts of teams post pictures of cheerleaders in their uniform, and they get to post what they want of them, and they don't even tag them in the picture, but they just put hashtags of, like, oh, look at this hottie, or look at this cutie. But yeah, they cheerleaders can't do what they want on their own social media account.
Yeah, I mean, I danced for the New York Cosmos, and it definitely wasn't as strict as the NFL, but there were a lot of restrictions as to, like, us personally, we had to have our accounts private. You weren't allowed to accept anyone that had anything related to the Cosmos. You couldn't, like, make your account, like, public, and if you did, there was going to be an extreme amount of backlash. So I can totally relate to Bailey and how the restrictions of just being a cheerleader is so much different than the people on the actual teams. It's like you're putting us in a box, and you can't get out of this box because you need to look and act a specific way because that's the only way I'm going to let you act.
Yes. But if you can, will you share a little more insight on your experience at the Cosmos?
It wasn't bad, but there was just a certain rules and regulations that we had to follow to. We weren't allowed to dye our hair. So whatever hair color you started the season, that was the hair color you had to end. And you couldn't change your image throughout the entire season. You weren't allowed to get your body pierced. You had to start looking one way, and you had to end looking that exact same way. And then in the beginning of the season, there was the mention of getting on a diet plan and having to go and set up a gym membership and having a personal trainer because there was this ideal body image that you had to conform with. And if you didn't fit the part or look the part, then you just weren't going to be on the team. And it's a lot. You do this because you love to dance and you love to cheer on teams, and then they're telling you that in order to do it, you have to look this way, you have to do your makeup the exact same way as everyone else, and then you also have to dress and look and have the same exact physical appearance as everyone else on the team too. So it's just not fair.
Yeah, I agree with you, it's not fair. Also, that was not fair is that these women go through a tons of amount of sexual harassment from fans, even from players sometimes, and no one brings that to light. They like to bring to light what they do on their personal time. And I feel like that's wrong. Like, I feel like there should be a balance where NFL team owners should protect their cheerleaders as well. Because they gain most of the interest on Instagram and popularity through the team. And they garner more interest because of the posts that they put on their social media account about cheerleaders.
They're definitely, I can agree with you on the whole sexual harassment thing. It's definitely a thing. Because I remember even like the uniforms that they put us in, it was like a short crop top and like really short shorts, and they expect you to walk around the stadium, and we played at MCU Park, so we walked around the stadium in Brooklyn wearing barely any clothes, and like you would receive catcalls, like, and we were told that you have to take pictures and you have to sign autographs for the fans, and there would just be some fans that would take it to the next level, and like you would just kindly go up to them and they'd ask for a picture, and like it's your job to say yes, but as you're taking a picture with them, like their hand just grabs you in the wrong way, and you don't know if that's they're doing it accidentally or if they're doing it purposely. And there were a couple of times where I witnessed my friends and myself and just being in situations and not really having a strong backbone support from the soccer players or the people that are in control of the soccer team, rather than our own manager, who was also a female, having to step in and be like, all right, you need to take a step back. It was just all us as a whole, the Cosmos girls, having to protect each other rather than having the big brand protect us as well. And I'm not saying that they didn't do a great job. They definitely did. But I just wish that it was more protected than it actually was.
Going back to what you just said right now, the same thing can be said about Billy Davis. Many of the NFL team owners didn't step up for her. Even the Saints didn't step up for her. It was other cheerleaders from her unit who had to step up and say, this is not fair. Something has to be done. Nothing has been done yet, but she's still fighting to try to gain her job back.
A lot of these dance teams, though, for the NFL, they're very competitive. Like, I know I had a friend who wanted to try out for the Jets NFL dance team. And you had to, like, it's exactly what you said, like, you have to be super skinny, and it's just, it's very biased, and even, like, when I do go to, like, games, like, just watching them, and I'm just like, you guys are wearing, like, shorts in, like, 40-degree weather, it's crazy, because I feel like, you know, like, you guys, since you did do it, you guys do have to go for a lot, and you have to, you're expected to be a certain type of way for the team. You're expected to represent that team, so it's very crazy.
I have a friend right now who's going through the flight crew process. She's all the way to the end, but even, like, she had to, the dress code to even try out was shorts and a sports bra. And then when you go for an interview, you have to wear a pantsuit. Like, it's just crazy, all the stuff that you have to do.
For Global Media News, I'm Juan Salazar. Back to you.
Thanks, Juan. Noel Miranda is on our wrestling and social media beat. He is a big fan, but he's getting a bit annoyed by the increasing role of social media in the fan experience. So, Noah, why do you think that social media is taking a bit of the fun out of wrestling experience?
Well, WWE is very, very much into social media at the moment. They require almost every wrestler, every talent, to have a social media account, with exceptions going to The Undertaker. But they often have them live tweet events, like whether it be the weekly SmackDown or Raw or a pay-per-view. They often live tweet the events, so even if you're not watching, if you check your Twitter, you're going to find out what happens, and generally you get spoiled, which isn't fun. Nobody likes spoilers, and it happens almost all the time with wrestling, even before the show airs. Just for example, recently, WWE acquired a big new signee named Bobby Lashley, who was actually with the WWE in the past, but most fans already knew about his appearance coming up, because TNA, the company he was signed with before, had TV tapings leaked, and rumors started to circulate that Bobby Lashley was going to make a comeback. So people already kind of expected it before it even happened. And this is not the first time this has happened either. Jeff Hardy also made a return to wrestling after a long injury. And people were kind of guessing when he was going to come back. And that's also the case for wrestlers like Jason Jordan, who was on the shelf with an injury, and Dean Ambrose, who is currently on the shelf with an injury as well. And I feel like this constant presence of social media and the required upkeep that all the wrestlers have to go through to keep it, you know, keep it in line with what management wants can hurt, like, immersion into the product, and it can hurt the product itself in certain cases and make certain decisions that the bookers make look stupid. For example, back in mid-2017, around June, there was a wrestler named Baron Corbin who got in a bit of a spat with a wrestling critic named David Meltzer, and he lashed out at Meltzer, basically telling him, "What did you know? You're not an actual wrestling talent. You don't know anything about this business," which is untrue. David Meltzer's had a huge presence in the business, but after all this, Baron Corbin went on to win the Money in the Bank contract, which guarantees a World Heavyweight title match or a WWE championship match. And instead of winning the championship like most people who acquire the contract, he actually lost it and he looked stupid. And rumors quickly circulated that he was in trouble backstage with management because he lashed out on Twitter against the critic, and they have a certain way they want their wrestlers acting on Twitter, on Facebook. So they ended up cutting off his push, and people were unhappy with it because people were starting to grow on him. He was starting to grow on people. But I feel like social media has this very looming and large presence in how people are portrayed on television, which I feel like that shouldn't be. It should be more about how talented they are in the ring, how talented they are on the mic. And I feel like it's just doing a lot to hold back the overall product. And it's not like this in other promotions, such as New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor. Another example for this would be recently a legend of wrestling, Bruno Sammartino, passed away, who was very big in the growth of WWE. And almost as soon as his death hit the news, almost every WWE wrestler sent out a tweet about him wrestling peace. And it's kind of obvious that this is directed by management. And it's just, it feels disingenuous sometimes. And I would rather, like, the superstars come up with their own tweets instead of being fed stuff by management. And it's like this on television as well. Their scripts are constantly fed to them. They have no creative input or little to none. Only the bigger stars, such as the current world champions or higher paid stars like John Cena, have creative input. and what their scripts can be and what their programs are.
What is New Japan Wrestling?
New Japan Pro Wrestling. New Japan Pro Wrestling is currently Japan's biggest wrestling promotion, and they're pretty much direct competition to WWE at this point. They get a lot of their WWE gets a lot of new talent, such as Shinsuke Nakamura, who is pretty famous at this point, who he was acquired from New Japan. They're kind of hard to keep up with. If you want to watch them, you can use Sky TV, which is what I use to watch New Japan.
So, do you think that all of social media and WWE is negative? Like, there's no positive towards WWE using social media?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I feel like wrestlers who don't get a lot of television time can use social media to kind of develop their characters. But, like, there's always a constant presence of it. They mention their Facebook Live all the time on television broadcasts. And I feel like it's being very much forced down our throats. And it's fun and all at certain points. They do things like there's a mixed match challenge where they had wrestlers team up with women wrestlers. And they came together to make a tag team. And they would do little shorts. And they got to show off their character more. And stuff like this, it's welcome. It's more wrestling for people to take in. But people don't always want the tweets. Like the Baron Corbin one, sometimes you see a little bit too much and it takes you out of the experience of wrestling as a whole. You can't buy in because it feels like they're being forced to do something that's not organic.
Thanks, Noah.
How do you find new music? Has the way that fans discover new music changed because of cell phones and new media? We will be right back.
Global Media News. I'm Amanda Saguna. Jay Shaw is on the New Media Music Beat today. Jay, how do you find new music, and why do you think that new ways that fans are finding new music is changing the music business?
So, let's talk about music. The way I decided to focus on this topic was the yodeling kid, ironically. I know. I didn't hear about him 10 days after he went viral. So April 10th, I'm looking at all of these memes on Instagram with him on it, and I'm thinking to myself, who is this kid? Why is this a thing? What is this now? Because 2 seconds ago we were on the Tide Pods and the snorting condoms. Yeah, I know. So my friend shows me the video, and oh my god, I look up more and more news about him. And thanks to him, now Hank Williams' song "Love Sick Blues" that he yodeled is actually a song that people know.
Yeah.
And it's not a new song; it's old. It's from the '60s. So to me, it's just bizarre because I grew up sitting in front of a giant box TV, watching MTV, waiting for the right time, the right second. Kristen's really excited about this. Yeah, because they write video to come on. And if you missed it, you missed it.
You're out of luck. There's no turning back.
Yeah, you couldn't rewind it. You couldn't pause it. You had to either record it on a VCR or you had to just wait 10 billion years for it to come back.
I would just like to touch on the fact that the yodeling boy performed at Coachella. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it's on Ellen.
Yeah,
I know he's on Ellen, but I knew he had his own, his first live performance coming up at Coachella.
He performed at Coachella where Beyonce performed, Cardi B, everyone. And just because he had that one video from Walmart, like, go viral all over Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere.
If I had done something like that, I would have become a meme today.
Sometimes I think, like, what can I do? I want to go viral. Like, let's just do something completely insane.
I don't know. I wanted to go viral with my voice. Like, I have a guitar. I wanted to... Oh, God. I'm not going to go there. But, wow. I'm just... Yeah, I know. I am surprised that this is happening in today's world. But, I mean, are you really surprised considering Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize for his album Damn? And I didn't even know you could do that. I thought it was for literature.
I had no idea either.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about that either. I did see it trending, though, on Twitter. Like, everyone was congratulating him, and everyone made it a very big thing because he was the first, I guess, hip-hop artist who did it, mm-hmm. which I think is very impressive on his part. Do I think that was the best album of the year? Not so much.
Or maybe we're just not deep enough to understand it. I was just going to say, or maybe it's like the lyrics and like not focusing.
Lyrics where he compares himself to Jesus and calls himself a prophet, metaphorically. But I'm not going to say this on air because someone's going to kill me. But either way, do you guys believe that with new media, maybe our standard for talent is decreasing?
Oh, definitely. We make stupid people famous all the time. Like you said with this yodeling kid, like, it's just crazy that he really performed at Coachella. Like, he really was on Ellen. I saw, like, all these celebrities, like saying, like, he was doing such a great job, like, at Coachella. Like, Justin Bieber, like, went up to him.
Yeah.
Was like, hey, buddy, like, what's going on?
Like, endorsing him.
Yeah, endorsing him, saying, like, he was so great. And I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, this little kid is really famous, has all these Instagram followers now.
Yep.
Like,
that's just like the Catch Me Outside girl.
Oh, my God.
Like, Dr. Phil brought you into this world.
She's a musician now.
Yeah,
she's on
exactly.
Spotify.
Yep, and she has albums and songs, like, I'm pretty sure her Catch Me Outside song has gone, like, platinum or something.
She has a song called Catch Me Outside.
She has music on Apple Music. You can get it.
Oh, my God. No, I saw it on Spotify, Bad Baby.
Yeah,
for her.
Mm-hmm. That's her.
And it's all bleep, 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 bleep.
And she's, like,
what the bleep?
15. She's young.
She's very young. Way young.
And, like, but like you said before, we basically gave her fame by saying Catch Me Outside. How about that? And now everyone says it, and it's just because basically every person that has a social media just started trending it, and now she's making more money than I probably will in my entire life.
Yeah. So we're essentially now a generation of attention-seeking...
Absolutely. You don't even have to finish. We'll do anything, or in her case, anyone, to get a Dr. Phil.
Oh, my God, you actually did.
Because you see, like, these crazy, like, social media trends, like, people just doing, like, stupid things. Like, there's somebody else on social media. I don't know if you guys know him, but his name is, like, Bonk or something. And he goes up to people and he just does crazy things. Like, he'll throw things on the floor.
Yeah.
Or, like, he'll rob people. And I'm just like,
wait. See, that sounds a lot like Eric Andre, but he does it with flair. He's a real comedian. He's justified.
Both of those people, to me, sound like the original Fred.
My God. Completely forgot about that.
Yeah, on YouTube. But, like, think about it. That was how many years ago? And I remember just sitting there, Fred posted a new video today, I have to go watch it. And he would do, like, ridiculous things in public places, and I would think it was hilarious, and I would share it to my friends, who would share it to their friends, and then here he is, just trending everywhere.
Yeah, and now with platforms like SoundCloud, Spotify, what else is there, TuneIn, Mixcloud, what else is there, Livestream?
Well, there's Apple Music.
Apple Music now.
Tidal.
Yeah, Tidal, all of this stuff, especially SoundCloud. Everybody wants to be a SoundCloud rapper.
I feel like you can...
Here's my link.
Yeah, right? Anyone can be an artist now. Like, let me just go sing into my little Apple microphone.
Wendy's has a friggin' album now.
What?
Wendy's has an album called We Beefin'.
Like, is it like... artists that contributed to it, or like people that they randomly just put
I don't
out.
Know, but it's all rap music, it's all rap and hip hop.
Oh,
and
my God.
There's songs called 4 for 4 and all of that stuff. So essentially, it is advertising, subliminally.
Yeah.
And okay, I will confess to this 2-3 weeks ago on SoundCloud, me and a friend of mine, we made ear rape audio. Out of the Papa John's commercial and the We Are Farmers commercials. And we put it up on SoundCloud. Follow us.
Just don't promote yourself real quick, though.
I'm the Sandy Witch Queen. And we actually have, like, 10 to 12 views.
But see, like, that's the thing is, like, in order, like, there are people that have an amazing talent and they just get really lucky and they get picked up by a record label. But then again, there are people, like, I don't know if you know Madison Beer, she's a local Long Islander, who start on YouTube and just promote themselves and just pray that one day one video just picks up and goes. Yep. And now she has an album. She just finished up a tour in Europe and she's coming back to the United States to tour. Like, it's crazy. Like, some people, and I'm, like, there are some people that are extremely talented and deserve to be something and be someone and make music and make art, but then there are some people, like Bad Baby, who just don't deserve it, and I personally feel like I contributed to her fame, and I should be ashamed.
Yeah, we all did, and it's really sad that we are subconsciously with, you know, talking about them just because this generation is so obsessed with social media. I mean, oh, that video has 10 million views. It's probably good. Let's look at it. So let's have Potter Puppet Pals perform at Coachella, right?
I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I used to watch that over and over again. And then my friends and I would try to, like, physically remake it by everyone being a person.
Or the duck song, or the hamster dance.
The obnoxious orange.
Oh.
Charlie! Yes. Hey, Charlie! Or let's perform at Coachella, Charlie!
Or sell the shell.
Oh. Oh, boy. Yeah, you know what? Let's make all of them famous. Let's start social media accounts for them and see how many followers they get and have all of these stupid new celebrity stars that are essentially child adults, you know, promote them and endorse them. That's all we need now, right? Who needs talent? We just need an auto-tune microphone.
It's so sad.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it really is. Like I said, like, we really do make, like, stupid people famous. instead of, like, the people who actually, like, have talent. Like, we really make, like, dumb people with the memes and everything else. It's crazy.
And it's, like, all starts off as, like, a joke, but then a joke just transpires into something totally different, and it's like, wow, like, I wish that was me a little bit, but at the same time, maybe not.
Right. Have you guys, you know, the Spotify sessions on Spotify, they have that whole section where you can look up new releases. They have these Spotify sessions where artists that record their music, they can put it up instead of having to pay for it. They put it up as a part of the Spotify sessions. And some of them are actually pretty good, but they don't get the recognition because they're not paying for the marketing, for the advertising. They're not able to put their pictures up. Nobody knows who they are. And most of these new artists that I've seen on Spotify, if you look at their biography, it's just stupid. Like, some of it is, hey, I'm blank, I make music, follow me, some random stuff. What?
It's just, why?
Why? What is,
no
why
other
is this happening? No, yeah, I'm extremely speechless. And in light of that, reporting for Global Media News, I am Jay Shaw. Back to you, Amanda and Kristen.
Thanks, Jay. And thanks to Kristen Schmeling for hosting with me this week. And many thanks to Nikita Lundy and Ricardo Morales for producing our lovely show.
And many thanks to our engineers, Jay Shaw and Joe Freiman. Today we heard reports from Noah Miranda, Juan Salazar, myself, Amanda Saguna, and Scarlett Vizcaino-Perez.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at State University of New York, College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts on the Catalyst at oldwestburycatalyst.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
And make sure that you're following us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news from aspiring journalists like Kristen and I, and media professionals. Once again, that's OWWRGMN.